It's here and now. The Edison Electric Annual Convention continues today in Las Vegas after a surprising announcement yesterday from billionaire investor Warren Buffett, who said he plans to double his $15 billion commitment to wind and solar power. Barclays Bank, meanwhile, has downgraded the electricity sector in the U.S. on fears that increasing solar use will hurt existing utility companies. Yesterday on the show, we talked with a reporter in Hawaii, where 10% of residents have solar panels on their homes, and the utility company is worried. Today, we're joined by John Cohen, utilities research analyst with ISI Group in New York. John, welcome.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, do you agree with this note from Barclays that U.S. utilities may now be under a solar threat?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a threat, but I think the regulators are increasingly aware of the threat. And, you know, just to put things in perspective, the rate of solar penetration in the U.S. is still very low. It's less than 1%. But it is growing very rapidly. It's experiencing this exponential growth. I think it's roughly doubling every 2 years. I think the latest stat I read was that a new solar installation is completed every 2.5 minutes. Hmm. So, you know, I think when you think about the reasons for that, there's a confluence of basically four reasons why we're seeing this. The first is that the cost of solar panels have been coming down precipitously. If you look at what solar panels cost 5 years ago versus today, you know, I think they're down about 80%.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two is that the cost of capital in the U.S. is very low. We have a 2.6% 10-year. So it's very easy to finance these things.
You mean that that you're talking about the 10-year T-note. This is the cost of borrowing money is very low.
Correct. The third is that there's still very attractive subsidies to people who install solar. That's both direct subsidies from taxpayers, federal government, state governments, and also cross subsidies from other customers. And I think that's the area where, you know, utilities and regulators, that's where the front line of the debate is right now over what those cross subsidies should be. And then finally, you've seen the emergence of companies called third-party owners. These are like the Solar Cities, the Sunruns, the Varangos, who will install the system at your home and finance it, and you will lease it from them for a term of usually around 20 years.
So it becomes a little bit easier to make the decision to go solar on your own home. And what we're seeing in Hawaii is that at least 10% of people have decided to do just that. Do you see a moment in the next 10 years when a similar percentage of people in, let's say, California or Arizona decide to do the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it hits. So Hawaii is different. Hawaii is an island. Most of the generation in Hawaii is diesel fuel, which is benchmarked off of the global crude prices. Much higher cost of generation in Hawaii than the rest of the country. You know, to give you an example, I think, you know, we in the Northeast probably pay about 5 to 6 cents a kilowatt hour. In Hawaii, it's probably 4 to 5 times that amount. When we in the U.S. pay our utility bills, we are charged a per kilowatt hour rate on our usage. So let's use an example, 15 cents per kilowatt hour. Of that rate, 1/3 to 1/2 is for the actual electricity that's being generated, and the rest is an allocation of grid charges to the customer. So that things, you know, maintaining the grid, poles, wires, transformers, substations. So really the issue here is when you install solar, your total usage goes down. Your bill goes down, but your share of the grid charges also goes down a lot. And that share has to be shifted on to all of the other non-solar customers.
Well, and that's something that is alarming the utilities in Hawaii, because there are so many people that are shifting off of traditional sources of energy and onto solar that they don't have enough income coming in to do the things to the grid that they say that they need to be able to do, that they're dealing with infrastructure costs that they can't afford.
That's correct. So in Hawaii, there's two problems. One is that the price of crude oil and the price of the commodity is going up a lot. But the other is that there's more and more people installing solar. The denominator over which you're putting the total revenue requirement keeps going down. So the rates for everybody else keeps going up. And that's what utilities are concerned about. Even though its penetration in most places in the U.S. is pretty low, they're worried that this is just going to take on a life of its own and, you know, cause what people have called the utility death spiral. So the reason, you know, we're a little bit more hopeful, though, is because in Hawaii, it makes sense because you're basically displacing very high cost power. In the rest of the U.S., I think the regulators are aware that they don't want to shift too many of these costs onto the other ratepayers. It tends to be regressive, actually, in places like California and Arizona, where people who can afford to install solar, you know, $15,000 installations, or have a credit score that's high enough to secure a 20-year lease, tend to be the more affluent customers. So really, you have a situation where the less affluent customers are subsidizing the more affluent customers.
Well, you say you're more hopeful of avoiding the utility death spiral. Some people may be hopeful that we get into a utility death spiral because it would mean that more people are switching over to solar.
The problem with solar is it's an intermittent resource, right? So no matter how much solar we install, we can't disconnect from the grid right now. I mean, the sun does not shine at night. You still have to be connected to get your power during the nighttime. And the sun goes behind the clouds. You need to have backup generation or firming capacity there to basically ramp up to replace the solar. So
you've got to stay on the grid usually.
You've got to stay on the grid. So I use the example, if you have everybody in the service territory and go out and install solar panels on their roof to reduce their usage by half, what would happen is that their rates for their grid charges would have to double. You know, what I worry about is that as a utility analyst is that there is some other technology that comes down the road. I don't think solar in and of itself is going to do it, but solar combined with storage or other types of micro generation, small gas turbines or combined heat and power units will allow people, at least give people a credible threat of disconnecting completely from the grid.
And when do you think that might be able to happen?
This is something we debate. There's nothing on the market right now that will give people the ability to do that in a cost-effective way, right? I mean, you could go off-grid, but you're probably going to spend 5 to 6 times what you would spend being on-grid. But I think there are advances coming out in things like fuel cells and even batteries. I mean, I think the cost of batteries will come down as production scales up. You know, within the next 5 years, I think people will see that it's possible to go off-grid, maybe not in an individual home, but in a collection of what we call microgrids, where you can have a collection of, you know, several hundred homes all interconnected. And I think there you have enough redundancy built into the system where you may be able to compete with utility power.
John Cohen, we're coming up on 3 years since the well-known solar company Solyndra went bankrupt. Is that a blip in the world of solar energy and it's more of an exception rather than a rule? Or what do you make of that event now looking back?
It's a complete blip. I mean, one thing we know for sure is that solar is the future. We don't know exactly which technologies are gonna win out over others, but you know, this has just been, if you look at a chart of the solar installations in Europe and in the U.S., I mean, it just goes vertical. And I think we're going to be riding that for a while. You know, which companies succeed, which fail is a sideshow. But solar is definitely the future, and it's going to make up the bulk of our new generation capacity.
John Cohen is a utilities research analyst with ISI Group in New York. John, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we welcome your thoughts at hereandnow.org.